Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God.
Tonight's praise and worship is brought to you by Tony Mason. Find out more about his ministry at www.tonymasonmusic1.com. That's www.tonymasonmusic1.com.
Your spirit fills the room. I sense you longing for the words you love to hear. So I'll open up my mouth and sing the songs that draw you near. That's when I'm praising, takes me away to where I'm always.
How many like being in that secret place and praising Him? Come on, that's when I'm
takes me away to where my spirit can be free. That's when your spirit wind carries me, there I will be free.
In your secret place with Him.
Father, in Jesus' holy name, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Lord, we just celebrate you, Jesus. We celebrate what you've done and all that you're doing in this hour. We celebrate your presence among us. Lord, cause this to be a day of celebration. Cause this to be a day of rejoicing. Lord, not over ourselves and our achievements, but over you and all that you've done. For you are worthy to be praised, O God, and you're worthy to be exalted. So we exalt you. I thank you for this class today. I ask that you teach it as it is in your heart, that you bring out the things that are on your heart. And Lord, that you get glory from it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I maintain that God has prototypes. The book of Hebrews says that. The book of Hebrews says that God does things, you know, by patterns and shadows. How many of you all know that? In Hebrews, it talks about the earthly is a pattern or type, rather, of the heavenly. So whatever we see in the earth realm, everything that we see in our physical realm, and I think we need to just get that scripture. Don't lose Matthew 16:18. But I think that it would behoove us, it would benefit us, if we got that scripture in our spirits. Because it's important that you recognize that everything that God does have a beginning. And that beginning is not necessarily what we think. Hebrews chapter 9, and we remember that it also said to Moses, I'll read this out to you, Hebrews 8:5, it says, you know, 5, who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, okay? Because everything on earth is a copy. You know, we thought we learned about copies when we came up with carbon paper. That's not God. Said, who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed or warned when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So that would tell me that Moses had an extraordinary visionary experience on the mountain. That while he was on the mountain, he had full dramatic portrayal of what was going to be and what he was in the planet to do. Now, if you go over with me to Hebrews 9, verse 23 adds to that, therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The Bible, because of our very crude conditioning concerning it, the Bible says things so casually that without the revelatory impact of the Holy Spirit, you would not know that God is making revelations that fit in this time, in this era. You know, that earlier era, when they taught copies, they talked about a line of people sitting down with an original and each one of them having to copy it one by one by hand. So when they saw Moses' pattern of the scripture and they saw the words, they understood that. They understood that everything that they got from a deity came from heaven, came from the supernatural world. They understood that. They also saw themselves as replicas. That's why statue making and image making was such a big deal to them, because they saw themselves as replicas of the world of the deity and saw themselves almost as echoes of that deity's words. So everything that they did not see as we do today in our humanist and our, you know, human divinity kind of mentality. They did not see themselves as the origin of anything. Humans never saw themselves as originals. That's a new concept. That's a modern post-Renaissance concept. Humans saw themselves as extensions, literal or visual copies of the invisible world. They saw all of their institutions as having had supernatural prototypes that produced them, that brought them into existence. Now, you might be saying at this point in time, so what does that got to do with the church or the ecclesia? Based on what I've just said to you, and based on the foundation that I have just laid for you, you would have to conclude then that the church that we know today as an isolated and, in God's mind, celebrated institution had a pattern. Now, that pattern wasn't just in where I'm going, but I'm going to, you know, God give me strength, we'll tie it all together. Let's go to Matthew and read Matthew from Matthew 16. And I want to start again where we left off. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, he said church, because we're speaking to a mind, us, our era, where now years down the road, we know the church is called the church. We've had, 2,000 plus years of folk to break us through. But at that time, he did not use the word church. He used the Greek word ecclesia. I have found, since I've been studying scripture, I have found that if we don't understand the language that they had, we won't understand what they recognized. Jesus literally pulled on a recognizable term for them to understand what he had done, even with Peter. With Peter, Peter understood his position as the founding apostle of the ecclesia. That made him the head of the church. Why did they know that? They understood that Peter was going to be the head of the church. Now, they didn't know what that meant, or the head of the ecclesia. They knew that. Now, this particular information that I'm about to share with you is very involved. I will not be able to go over it, but it comes out of one of my basic research books. It comes out of Dictionary of Classical Mythology, Religion, Literature, and Art. You probably can't find it. It didn't sell well. I was on one of my many trips, and when I go on trips and I go into different places, I like to go to the bookstores. And I went by the book, and the Holy Spirit told me to get it. And as I got it, I started reading, and I found pretty much the secular pattern or secular foundation of all of the New Testament is in this book. I felt, ooh, boy, did I strike gold. In this book, page 202, it has the word ecclesia, the assembly of people which in Greek cities had power of final decision in public affairs. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. At Athens, every citizen in possession of full civic rights was entitled to take part in it from his 20th year upwards. Kind of like the Levitical priesthood. You were eligible for the Levitical service, to be a Levitical minister from age 20 upward. The idea that God doesn't want you till you old did not come from heaven. In early times, one ecclesia met once a year in each of the 10 prytanies of the Senate. In later times, four, making 40 annually. Now listen to this. Special assemblies might also be called on occasion. When Jesus said, I was building my church, he said this because he wanted us to understand that we would convene and never disband. We're in the last Sabbath, we're in the last, up to the last of the feast. He's ended all of that. With the ecclesia, we have convened on the public matters of the world. We will never disband. Now, how we became relegated to just a religious, ritually driven institution, I don't know. But I believe that it was Satan's strategy to keep us out of his business, or what he thought was his global business. Because you are meant to understand what the Creator calls righteousness and what the world chooses to call morality. Your job is to bring the next level of government up to bear on this world. That is why it's so easy for us to become legalistic. It goes on and it gets better. The place of meeting was in early times the marketplace. In later times, a special locality called Penix, but generally the theater. After a permanent theater had been erected, to summon the assembly was the duty of the prytanes who did so by publishing the notice of proceedings. Upon this rock, I convene my church.
Hi, this is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. And now for the continuation of today's message.
Okay, now listen to this. There was a special authority, a board of six lexiarchi, so-called, with 30 assistants whose business it was to keep unauthorized persons out of the assembly. See, they understood the church in ways we don't. They understood that you had to have met all of the qualifications and eligibility requirements of righteousness, of being a legal citizen, of being part of what God called his church. You had to meet the qualifications. And at that time, based on the principles of the ecclesia, it was all right to say you are not a member. You have no legal right to vote in these proceedings, to even convene with us. So when they were talking later on down the line in scripture about people infiltrating their love feast, they were dealing with that. Exclusivity for these people was based on, you know, your birth, your money, etc. For us, it's based on the birth or the new birth in Jesus Christ. And as much as we want people to feel at home, warm, fuzzy, and comfortable, there were 30 folk that told them you couldn't, assistance that guarded the way to the proceedings. They did not have a right to know their documents. They did not have a right to know their secret proceedings. They had no right to vote on the issues that were brought before the church or the ecclesia. The members on their appearance were each presented with a ticket on exhibiting which, after the conclusion of the meeting, they received a payment of an obulus, about a third of a denarii in the later times, or three. So you were expected to get paid or rewarded for your service. And God expects you to look for a reward for A, joining, B, convening, C, determining or deciding, and D, for completing your term of service. This idea that the church, we just doing it because we just pull things, we hope God to get it right one day in the great by and by, not the Lord. Now, here's something that's interesting. After a solemn prayer and sacrifice, the president called an epistates, communicated to the meeting the subject of the discussion. Epistates, isn't that an interesting word? Isn't that an interesting term? That's who Peter was. See, they understood when he said, I'm building my ecclesia, they knew what Jesus was saying. And we read this Bible as if they have our mind, when in fact, to understand it, we need to get a hold of their mind. If there were a previous resolution of the Senate for discussion, he put the question whether the people would adopt it or not, or proceed to discuss it. In the debates, every citizen had a right of addressing the meeting, but no one could speak more than once. Before doing so, he put a crown of myrtle on his head. He'd achieved. He'd arrived. That's a big deal about the crowns, now that you're seeing that. So in order for you to stand up and be recognized in the ecclesia to the point that you had a voice, you couldn't voice your thoughts unless you were crowned. Does this help anybody? Because you see, you get bored about coming to church. God gathers you to handle his matters. He gathers us in church to handle issues that are affecting the body of Christ, either locally, regionally, or globally. And you come to church and you go to sleep. You come to church and you're bored. You come to church and you run in and out the door like two-year-olds, because you don't realize that God has gathered you and summoned you to handle some matters of state that pertain to the heavenly Senate, which is what? Who is the heavenly Senate? The 24 elders of creation. So the 24 elders represent God's Senate. You all remember the 24 elders, right? I am talking something y'all do relate, you know. The 24 folk overseeing God's business in heaven. We see them in Revelation. So it is assumed that the apostle would get information from God's heavenly angels or his 24 elders or his heavenly senate, and that information would be disseminated to the body. I'm trying to help you connect with why you're important to the body and what it is to be a member of a local congregation. And it's not a passive assignment. You don't just come in and sit down and get your blessing. You're not sent here to come in week after week and get your hit. I feel good. Boy, that was good praise. Oh, that was good worship. You ought to partake in the prayer and the sacrifices of worship, which is the fruit of your lips. Not sit down hoping the praise and worship team to get you up. Hallelujah. We were going to get you up. We put fire in all y'all seats. For you to be a part of this, you had to be of high stature. So I don't care how pitiful, low down, dirty, beat down you see yourself as being. God does not see you that way. And he's saying, I'm giving you a voice. Once you put on that crown, you have a voice in the business of eternity and its operations in the earth. So then he goes on and starts talking to them about, I just love God. God's just a sugar. Oh, see, when you find yourself, you can stand. And when you find yourself, you can go forward and do what God needs you to do. You sit in church, and I'm sorry if you chose a boring church, but that doesn't mean the pattern doesn't work. It may mean the performance are not working it well. And so from the moment you put that crown on, your voice is heard in the highest places of the land. And your opinion counts, because God is not looking for a silent church. You know, when we have all of our early fathers, they're talking about this kind of quiet, mum's the word, mystical, reverential thing. That is not the function of the ecclesia. That may be the function of the mystic, but it's not the function of the ecclesia. The ecclesia is a big mouth organization. Sound like the church. Big mouth, shouting all time, always got an opinion. The president, but no one else, had the right of interrupting a speaker. If his behavior was unseemly, the president could cut short his harangue, expel him from the rostrum and from the meeting, and inflict upon him a fine. Cases of graver, I'm trying to tell you that everything even has a consequences in how you handle yourself in the house of God. Cases of graver misconduct had to be referred to the Senate or Assembly for punishment. So you can say, I know you didn't mean well. I know that you didn't mean to fall into fornication and adultery. I know you didn't mean to do that. But see, the 24 elders don't care, because their job is to keep the balance of righteousness in creation. That is why it doesn't make a difference where you go. When you mess up, judgment follows you. Now, I did not know. I wish I could tell you how much God is blessing me in my days of revelation, but I had no idea until I got this book what we were talking about as church. Most of us don't want to go to church on Sunday mornings, or you come in when you can. You don't plan to go. Oh, God, I got to. Oh, Lord. And you have no idea that you're summoned for an eternal transaction. There are things that God is putting you all week long that he expects you to release in praise and worship. Our orderly function of expression is not getting you to the rostrum, but it's prophetic. That's what the whole two or three prophets speak and let the others judge is talking about. You're getting information from the heavenly senate to dispense to the ecclesia that is assembly, or prayer for one another, or other tongues, as they say in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 and 29. And so God wants you to recognize that the ecclesia, as he designed it, has yet to function in the earth the way it should. When it was first born, it was too small to function that way. And when it grew up, it was perverted. Any citizen could move an amendment or counterproposal, which he handed in writing to the presiding prytany. The president had to decide whether it should be put to the vote. And I give you the keys of the kingdom. Ultimately, Peter knew what he was given. He was given authority. He was given power and access, but he was given the right to decide what could or could not happen in the ecclesia. So in John 21, we hear the Lord Jesus saying, whoever sins you remit are remitted, whoever sins you retained are retained. It's on the basis of that legal government and that governing organization that Jesus gave them that authority. I'm now waking you guys up. You're getting ready to work with heaven. I'm getting ready to make you a co-regent or regnant in authority in creation. You are about to make decisions on how the world works and how the world shall do this or do that. And it's when we fall short that the world has nowhere else to go but down. When you support your friend's issues and you support your family's mess and you go and pat them on the head and say, it's all right and God understands, you are actually using your ecclesiastical authority to encourage a misconduct that God has to deal with from heaven. Because misconduct was not allowed in the ecclesiastical assembly. So the president could veto whatever you want to do just by merely declaring that it was illegal. Oh, What a thought. So that apostle is supposed to be able to tell you what's legal and not legal in the church. Oh, we're not a legalistic church. Peter, as the president, understood that. He understood because it was important that they understood God's law as he sent it. So what's legal is not about merely the laws of man. God is dealing with what's legal or illegal in creation. What is legal and lawful for an immortal soul? What's legal and lawful for an immortal being? What is legal for you as a human divine? Your government is a higher level of government. So you have to operate on the laws of one who will never die, one who is now interacting with God's invisible creation and who is representing the voice of the 24 elders in the world. I think God wants to do in this hour a connection or reconnection of the heavenly with the earthly. We started out talking about this pattern in Hebrews. Now going on, now here's something that Paul, remember Paul talked about this oath. Listen to this. Any citizen could move an amendment or counter proposal, which he handed in writing to the presiding prytany. The president had to decide whether it should be put to the vote. This could be prevented not only by the mere declaration of the president that it was illegal, but by anyone present who bound himself to an oath to prosecute and the proposal for illegality. Now here's what he's saying. When Paul said, you know, every time they tried to kill Paul, they swore that they, by an oath, that they would fast and pray and all of that stuff till they could kill him, because they were actually saying he was rendering an illegal movement in the earth. He was rendering an illegal movement among the people of God. And so they bound themselves to an oath, and they had a right to kill him because he was introducing illegal legislation into the body. Your pastors, we as God's apostles, are supposed to tell you what is legal and illegal in the sight of God. Because legal and lawful, Paul talks about it throughout the entire creation. The law of God is love. The law of God is holiness, righteousness. The law of God is liberality. The law of God is obedience and submission. The law of God, I'm trying to help you all understand this. Are you all getting a hold of this thing? Because you must clearly appreciate your place in the ecclesia. And you must recognize that it is not a Sunday morning sanctuarial affair, hallelujah, but it is in fact a globally governing institution of which you are a member of one regional part. It is so important that you recognize this. You know, we tell you what the church is, and you get this definition, called out one. And you just like, all right, called out from where, to where, to do what, why? Very difficult. Very, very difficult. But when you start looking at it like this, you realize that your gathering together on Sunday is to be a part of God's doing business in the earth. And he wanted to make a sharp distinction between the government of the Jews that was present and popular that day and the power and the exalted power and authority of the ecclesia, because the Jews were under the ecclesia, because the ecclesia was the Roman institution. Or the Athenian institution as it started. So God is saying to them, you have put yourself under other rulers, but I'm bringing into existence a body, a council, an organization that's going to supersede all of that. And they're going to have the authority to do business in the heavenly. Why? Because they're going to represent a higher God than Caesar. You know, when you think about why people are serious about the church, if you listen to this CD again and again, you'll be able to tell them why church is a serious matter. And not a weekly ritual.
Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live weekly interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.